You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some, But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
This is the Six Man Show, an Orlando Magic podcast, with your hosts, Luke Sylvia and Jonathan Osborne, covering all things Magic basketball. By fans, for fans. Go Magic! What's going on, Orlando Magic fans? You guys are back with the Six Man Show. Today is May 12th, 2022. Jonathan Osborne here, as always, joined by my co-host, Luke Sylvia. Luke, what's going on, man?
I'm great. I am great, Jonathan. Truly. Great.
Luke, We did not plan this. People that are watching on YouTube right now, We are both rocking Naruto shirts. That was completely unplanned. Naruto, one of the greatest shows ever. I know you started to watch it, and then you like kind of got away from it, right?
Yeah.
Have you gotten back into it?
No. Not yet. Me too.
It's the off season. This is the time of the year where you have time to do something like that.
But I'm moving in a month and I start a new job. So like right now, no. But
yeah, that's true.
I could see like July-ish.
Right.
That I could make my return back onto the scene for it for sure.
Once you get through Naruto, man, like Naruto is such a great show, but it's so many freaking episodes. Then like if you're still feeling the anime bug, you can get into like other anime that aren't as long, like Attack on Titans, like 87 episodes. Right now I'm watching Demon Slayer. The first season of that is like 26 episodes. But anyways, this is not an anime podcast. We're going to get into some voicemails in a bit here, some listener voicemails. So if you all ever want to be featured on a show like this or a voicemail episode or just a random episode, if you call 407-603-1189, you can leave us a voicemail to leave a question, hot take, tell us how stupid we are, whatever the case may be. You can call and do that at any time. Do not think that this is like your only opportunity to do that. But we have some major news. So for those of you that do not follow us on social media, we announced it today. What is today? Wednesday afternoon. We were contacted by the Magic this past week, and we have just been given an insane opportunity to partner with the Orlando Magic and Michelob Ultra to make the watch party that we have been planning at Harry Buffalo. It is now basically going to be like the official six-man show Orlando Magic NBA Draft Lottery watch party at Harry Buffalo downtown Orlando. We're going to have all kinds of giveaways. I know the Magic are obviously putting some resources to make it even that much better of an event. We've talked to Harry Buffalo. They're basically going to give us the whole place, you know, for the night. Downstairs, upstairs. They're going to open the entire place up for us. It's a huge moment for the podcast that we are like officially partnering with the Magic for something. It's like as cool as this event is, it's just really exciting about the potential of kind of starting that official relationship with the Magic. And the fact that they like reached out to us and wanted to do this is like a major, major, major deal.
Yeah. Yeah, and up until recently, I was kind of like, I just like I said earlier, I'm packing, new job. I just don't know, like, I don't think I can, like, have the means to make this happen for me to be able to just come down for a quick couple days. And then they reached out, and I was like, fellas, if this happens, I'm going to have to. Like, I don't think I have a choice at that point. It's kind of like, It's kind of like when Jalen Suggs was there at five. That's what it was for me, right? Like, he's there. We got to do it. We got to do it. And so I'm doing it. So I will be officially in town in Orlando. And it'll be a lot of fun, man. I'm looking forward to it. I really can't say thank you enough to the Magic organization. Because we didn't prompt them, right? Like, they decided that they, you know, liked what we were doing. They probably saw what we did last year with the watch party and said it was worth, you know, partnering. And it's just incredibly grateful, for sure.
Yeah, incredibly grateful. It's like, I'm not the kind of guy that likes to like toot my own horn and like pat myself on the back, but I'm not gonna toot my own horn, but it's just a testament. Like, you hear people say things all the time, like, you can do anything that you put your mind to, like, blah, 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 blah. Like, this just started with an idea that I had to start talking about the Magic. And, like, later on, Luke comes into the picture and has, like, helped take the show to a new level. And then Kevin came into the picture and helped take the show even to another level. Mm-hmm. And it's just because, like, three guys, like, plus, you know, Ryan and Tim and Ben, that all contribute, like, kind of in different facets, just kind of the six-man show brand. Are we calling this a brand now? I really don't even know, but
we're a brand, that's for sure.
It's just a testament to, like, we do this every single week, we try our best, and, like, regardless of the outcome, we love the process. Like, it's weird to say that, but that's really what it comes down to. We enjoy doing this. We wouldn't do it every single week, twice a week, if we didn't.
Yeah.
And, like, just incredibly grateful to everybody that has been listening to the podcast. Incredibly grateful to everybody that makes the show happen on a weekly basis. I feel like we just did this with episode 200, and I don't want to, like, make this, like, all about us kind of thing, but it's just like, man, like, if you would have told me almost 3.5 years ago that, like, we would have media access and we would have players on the podcast and the Magic would reach out to us and want to partner with us for a lottery watch party, I would have never thought that in my wildest dreams. So I'm just, like, so incredibly grateful. Like, that is just the word that keeps popping in my head. I'm just so grateful for the opportunity, because it's really not us. Like, it's like, I feel like we've done a good job of, like, you know, forging relationships with people, like, within the organization and in the community and stuff like that. But, like, I just feel, like, lucky, honestly. Like, I don't have any other word for it. Like, I feel, like, grateful to God. Like, you and I, we've talked about our beliefs on the podcast, and that's ultimately what I believe is, like, the driving force in all the great things that have happened for us. So, just, like, incredibly grateful, super excited. Whatever you guys, if you weren't really sure whether or not you're going to come to the watch party, like, you have to come now. Like, it's going to be a great time, especially if we get Nebraska. A high pick. Yeah, Luke is flying. I've had people like, oh, I wish, you know, I live like 3 hours away. I wish we could go. Like, get on your bike, start pedaling, start walking, whatever it is that you need to do to get there. Like, especially if we end up with a high pick, I promise it is going to be a night that you never forget. I think regardless of the outcome, I think it will be a night that you never forget, especially just like if you're a diehard Magic fan and you're not, like, you don't really have a ton of opportunities to be around, like, diehard Magic fans. There are not going to be casuals at this event. Like, the draft lottery is not a casual event. It is for diehards. The casuals come after we get the number one pick, right? So this is an event for diehard fans. I promise you, it is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have trivia. We're going to have giveaways. It's just going to be a great time. So please, May 17th, next Tuesday, 7 o'clock p.m., downtown Orlando, Harry Buffalo. It is going to be a great time. Do not miss out. And again, just thank you, thank you, thank you to everybody that has supported the show from day one and continues to do so. We sound like mushy idiots at this point, but, like, we just love you guys, and we could not do this without you guys. It's so freaking exciting. All right. Before we move on to some other things, we're going to talk some Orlando Magic news that we really haven't had a chance to necessarily touch on. But we would be remiss if we did not bring up the fact that, and Luke hates when I say remiss.
I don't hate it.
You do hate it.
I just noticed that you say it a lot.
I say it a lot because, you know, sometimes I forget to say things. I'm like, man, I would be remiss if I did not go back and mention that. So I have to mention it. I would regret not mentioning the people that help support the show every single week. Those are our patrons. And if you are at all interested in helping financially support the show, you can find us at patreon.com/thesixmanshow. We shout out all of our brand new patrons. We do like a special spotlight shout out for them. And then we also shout out every single one of our patrons on every episode. And that is what we are going to do now. Shout out Court Cousins, Drew Gooden, Armin, Keith Garcia, Zico, Carson Tulo, Nathan Lynn, Ellis, Jonathan Borges, Norm L., Magic Player History, Julio, Bailey, Matt Lyman, Eric Segovia, Gabe Gaines, Wiffle, Michael Martin, Jamel Miller, Michael Salapong, Franz Godefichot, Ryan Singh, and Blake Bickerstaff. You all are the real MVPs.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, Luke, before we get to the voicemails, there was a piece of Orlando Magic news that came out a couple of weeks ago, and for one reason or another, we just didn't really mention it on the show yet. We've had some guests on. So Jonathan Isaac, there is basically an injury stipulation into his contract that if he did not play a certain amount of games, that the guaranteed money in his contract would be impacted by that. And I think Bobby Marks was the first that reported on this a couple of weeks ago. But due to Jonathan Isaac missing the entire 2021-22 season, his salaries for 2023-2024, and 2024-2025 have now become partial or non-guaranteed. So if you remember, Jonathan Isaac signed a contract extension, which kicked in this year, which had an annual value of $17.4 million. And it wasn't decreasing. It wasn't front-loaded. It was $17.4 million in 2021, 2022, 22-23, 23-24, 24-25. Now, however, he got a $17.4 million this year that, he was, guaranteed. Next season, instead of 17.4, the Magic will save $1.4 million. He'll make $16 million next year. 2023-2024, he'll make $7.4 million, so the Magic will save $10 million. And then his contract in 2024-2025 is no longer guaranteed. It is now non-guaranteed. So, Luke, the Magic were smart to put this into the contract. It ends up working out well for the Magic. I'm sure the Magic much rather would have had a healthy Jonathan Isaac and just paid him what they originally had agreed to. But because of the uncertainty surrounding his future now, this is a good thing for the Magic. Again, this coming year, they're going to save $1.4 million on the contract. But then, again, going into the 2023-2024 season, $7.4 million guaranteed, and then 2024-2025 non-guaranteed, Luke. This puts the Magic in a pretty good position that if things don't turn out the way that we want them to with Jonathan Isaac this coming year, obviously we're talking about his health and his performance, the Magic have flexibility like coming pretty soon on that contract.
Yeah, which will be huge if it comes to that, right? Like if the Magic end up having to, you know, not having to exercise that guaranteed money that was initially in place. I mean, it's huge. It's obviously why it was a stipulation. It was kind of to hedge the bet written in that, you know, into that contract. I'm sure that the Magic are somewhat relieved that's the case. But like you said, would much rather have preferred that Jonathan Isaac, you know, was still kept that contract in place, just because it would mean he played some games this year. And it's what it is. But it's a good move for the Magic.
So I think what it raises the question is that there is a potential, again, if we're hoping and we're expecting, you know, Jonathan Isaac to be ready opening night and ready to go, and hopefully he's the same player. Like, that is what we want more than anything. However, if that is not the case, unfortunately, if that is not the case, the Magic really are in a good position to where, like, let's say it doesn't work out this year and you bring in a guy, whether that be Chet or Paolo or Jabari, one of these forwards that we've talked about, and all of a sudden you don't really think that Jonathan Isaac still fits into the long-term plans for the team, that allows the Magic really to move that contract much, much easier if they did not have these provisions built into the contract. Because at that point, 2024-2025 is non-guaranteed. After next season, he's basically going to have 1 year left on the contract at $7.4 million. And that makes it much easier to move at that point. So I think the biggest strength, I think most of us would agree that the biggest strength of this front office has been the way that they've structured contracts. If we look at Nikola Vucevic, Terrence Ross, Wendell Carter now, Jonathan Isaac, like the way that they've done this, I think that has been their biggest strength. Obviously, you know, we can talk about their track record in terms of evaluating talent and drafting, whatever the case may be. I do think that's been pretty good, but this has really been a real strength for them, is the way that they've structured these. I don't know why I can't say the word structured these contracts and protected themselves in the future. Luke, I think there is a real possibility, although I don't think it's likely. I think there is a possibility that this could be Jonathan Isaac's last season playing for the Magic.
Yeah, it's crazy, and I think this is just one of those things that kind of flies under the radar, like this sort of thing. I think if we don't talk about it, people don't really look into it too much, right? They just see it and they're just like, guaranteed money is guaranteed money, and they don't really think about the, you know, how that really plays into it. So, it's huge. I mean, the implications are very, very big.
Yeah, I'm looking at SpotTrack, and, you know, I don't pretend to be any kind of cap expert, but it looks like the cap hit is still $17.4 million each year. When you hover over it, it shows, you know, partially guaranteed, non-guaranteed. So maybe that just hasn't updated because we haven't changed, like, the calendar year to 2022-2023, the NBA calendar yet. But, yeah, it's pretty big implications. I'm going to go out on a limb and just say Jonathan Isaac is going to come back and just be ready to go, and we won't have to worry about Jonathan not being in a Magic uniform, you know, in the next, you know, 12 to 16 months, whatever the case may be. We're just going to hope that he's going to come back, be ready to go, but definitely felt like we had to mention this because, you know, it potentially could be a very big deal in the future. All right, Luke, let's go ahead. We're going to get into some voicemails. We've been talking about this for a few weeks now. We wanted to do like a voicemail episode. And again, if you want to be featured on an episode like this, you want to call with your take or question, you can call 407-603-1189. So we've got about six voicemails. We're going to go through the various voicemails here and just kind of work our way through them. We're going to start with one of my favorites, just because you'll hear it's a pretty funny encounter. We're going to start with Brandon from Philly.
You know who it is. It's Brandon again. I have a question. I just thought of listening to some podcasts on the Land of Magic. Question is, or rather, it's probably, you know what? I'm just going to do another voicemail. You just delete this one or edit it, okay? Let's start over. Ready? My question is for y'all. What kind of trade packages could we pair with Terrence Ross for an asset we would like? Or what could we trade for Terrence Ross? Or let me just call you back and delete. Just delete this message. Just delete it.
I'm sorry, Brandon from Philly. It was just really funny, and I know you wanted us to delete that, but I couldn't. I just felt
nothing
like
safe.
It was going to bring value, comedic value to the podcast. So we'll go ahead. Now we're going to play part two of that, but shout out to Brandon. Hope you're a good sport about this.
We're going to pretend that last voicemail didn't happen.
No, we're not.
My name's Brandon from Philly, Orlando Magic fan. I have a question. What could we package with Terrence Ross to get an asset to complete our team for a playoff run? Or who could we get with just Terrence Ross as a trade asset? Thank you, y'all. Appreciate you. Much love. Peace.
Luke, you want to take this one first? Basically, yeah, the question was, what can we get for Terrence Ross?
Here's what would happen. Okay. Here's what happens. Terrence Ross. So let's say Terrence really wants to go to the lake show. Okay. Here's what the lake show is going to do. They're going to go to the local grocery store. They're going to get an oatmeal raisin cookie. And they're going to say, here you go. And the Magic are going to say, great, I've been craving an oatmeal raisin cookie. And they're going to eat that cookie. And Terrence Ross is going to be wearing the Lakers uniform next year.
So that's what you think is going to happen? You think he ends up with the Lakers?
No, I'm just saying, if Terrence wants to go somewhere to win a championship, which has clearly been like what he's voiced, when we're screwed of any value in Terrence Ross at this point. Like, he already didn't have much value because his year this year was awful. And then he went on and said publicly, I'm not going to be with the Magic next year because I want to go chase a ring. So Terrence Ross is not going to be in any type of package unless it's... No, he's just not going to be in a package unless it is just like an oatmeal raisin cookie, not even chocolate chip.
Well, so I would disagree. I don't think that his comments really affected the trade value, like, just because I don't think it could have one got much worse. Like, I do think he has some value on a contender, but I don't think contenders are going to be like, oh, Terrence Ross is the missing piece for us. We need to go out and get Terrence, and then we'll be able to win a championship. I think if you're looking for like a little bit more shooting, you know, maybe you lose a guy to free agency and you need to bring in another shooter, then you start talking about a deal for a guy like Terrence Ross, and you talk yourself into the fact that in a different role, he can still be pretty valuable, you know, off the bench as a shooter. And I think that's true. I don't think Terrence is you know, washed, you know, by any means. In the right role, I do still think he can be a valuable three-point shooter off of the bench.
I just don't know. I don't know what is his role and what is his age or whatever. Like, I don't know what it is. His
the
physical
guy's,
condition.
Like, he's got bounce. We
I know he's
he still
got bounce,
has bounce.
But
he's not
he's
washed.
Lost, he's lost something. 29%
the
from
will
three.
Will to
we can
live
try.
Is what he lost this year.
29, right, but still, Jonathan, 29% on four attempts a game last year, almost six attempts, 33%. Like, he hasn't shot 38% since 2018.
So, we talked about his body language all season. It was very obvious that he did not love being here this season. He did
course,
not love losing
season,
and being the, you know, eighth, yes, ninth guy off the bench at some points.
Even last year, though, he shoots 33%, like almost 34. Like, he's not incredible. He's streaky. And
his role
and
also
think,
changed, though. Teams were able to focus in on Terrence Ross. Like, at a lot of points last year, it was just Terrence and Vooch and Evan out there.
Yeah, I mean, I think he can absolutely get like league average 35, 36, 36.5%. I just don't think that he's going to be like a 40% three-point shooter, even if he's not a main focus. I just don't think that he's not going to give you, I don't know, man. I just don't think he's giving you much.
And it's not always like what you are tangibly giving. It's like the perception that Terrence is still a shooter. Like Terrence touches the ball, he still creates a lot of gravity, especially on a bad team like the Magic, when you don't have to worry about a ton of guys, especially in the second unit. It's like we have to stop Terrence Ross and we win these bench minutes like easily. And especially the beginning of the season when he was getting more minutes in that role, that was totally apparent. Like you just laser focus on Terrence Ross in the second unit. The Magic's bench unit can't do anything else. So I think you put him on a good team where there are other pieces to worry about and he gets a little bit more airspace and he's more motivated playing on a contender, playing on a good team. I think we could see him get back to like, you know, 37, maybe 38%. I'm by no means am I saying he's going to turn into like, you know, a Kyle Korver kind of guy off the bench or anything like that.
I think he has to be in the starting unit to be effective, especially like in the postseason. Because for them to not have to worry about, you look at the Bucks, Jonathan. The Bucks right now off the bench, they're playing an 8-man rotation most of the time. Off the bench is Bobby Portis, Pat Connaughton, George Hill tonight playing 13 minutes. Like those are the only guys that have come off the bench. So like
you think he's better than George Hill?
That's my problem. I think he is better. Yeah. So that they can just focus him.
But those guys come off of the bench and they're still playing a lot of minutes with Drew Holiday and
that's what I'm saying. He's got to be. He has to be playing like with majority starters for him to really start to light it up.
That's how it works. On a contender, the best players play, you know, 35 minutes a game. It's not like, you know, the Magic where it's crazy if a guy's playing over 30.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm right there with you. For him to get like to be the best like version of himself again, I used to say this about Eli Manning. Towards the end of his career, for Eli Manning to be an effective quarterback, he needed great receivers and needed a perfect offensive line to give him enough time in the pocket. Some guys just need a perfect situation in order to be a valuable asset. I do think at this point in his career, Terrence Ross is one of those guys, but I don't think it's impossible. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, it's not impossible. I just don't think the value's there. I don't think you're getting much for him.
Well, so let me talk about this. So I went through the trade machine. I went through all other 29 teams. First of all, it's just very difficult for the contracts to match up for Terrence. You know, only making $13.5 million next year. But when you just start going through the league, it's just not many deals that you think, yeah, we can definitely make that happen, especially in like a one-for-one. The one that I did come across was the New York Knicks. And my proposed trade, Luke, and you can let me know what you think about this, is Terrence Ross straight up for Nerlens Noel, who has 2 years left on his contract. I think he makes, I'm going to pull this up again just to make sure, I think he makes $11.5 million, $9.2 million. So, $11.5 million, not $13.5. So, let me just throw this in the trade here really quickly. Just want to make sure the money works out. I believe it does, but I just want to make sure we are not going to have any issues, and it's a success. So the New York Knicks this year, they were the 11th ranked team in the league in terms of defensive rating. They were 23rd in offensive rating. So they're losing a little defense to get a little bit more offense in Terrence Ross, especially if the Magic are not going to re-sign Mo Bamba. Nerlens Noel becomes your backup center. I'm good with that. You could do much worse in terms of a backup center than Nerlens Noel. Why are you making that face?
Bro.
I know you don't love the idea, but we're talking about trading Terrence Ross, who you already said we are getting nothing for. So if the listener specifically asked what player we could get for Terrence Ross, and I'm telling you, that's probably the best that you're going to do, and I don't think it's the worst thing ever for the Magic.
He's so bad.
He's not that bad.
Dude, he doesn't do anything but block shots.
Okay, because he at one point was projected to be the number one overall pick, yes, he doesn't do anything but block shots. Do you think he is a better one-on-one defender than Mo Bamba?
Yeah.
Yeah. What does Mo Bamba do? Block shots. Knocks down some threes. You lose a little bit of three-point shooting going from, you know, Mo Bamba to Nerlens Noel, but if Mo Bamba does not want to be here and you don't have a choice, you could do much worse in terms of your backup center than Nerlens Noel, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And you're not going to get a player much better. I'm not saying this is a steal for the Magic. The Magic need to make this deal tomorrow. I am not saying that.
The Magic fleece the Knicks.
We are specifically asking the question, what can you get for Terrence Ross? And that is what I think you can get for Terrence Ross, that if Mo Bamba is not here, it makes sense for the Magic.
I'd rather just explore free agency.
And that's a viable question, but that was not the question we were asked.
I know. This guy just hasn't played over 22 minutes in like 6 years of his career, and he averages like 3 and 4 with one assist and one turnover.
He is a career backup.
Career trash can.
Wow. I cannot wait for Nerlens Noel to get traded to the Magic, and Luke has to give his take on what happens. All right, let's move on. This one is a question specifically for Luke Sylvia.
Hey, Six Man Show. Ball by Basie calling in from Ohio. Listening to the guard grades and had a question for Luke. You know, being lower a little bit, you know, kind of projection-wise on most of the guards other than Markel. Wanted to get kind of his thoughts on Jaden Ivey, you know, hearing him not being as hot on Jalen Suggs as maybe other Magic fans, seeing if maybe he thinks Ivey is a better fit going forward next to Markel as the starter. Love you guys. Thanks.
Love you,
First
too.
First of all, love you, too. Yeah, I mean, he's not wrong. I'm not the highest on Suggs. I still don't think he becomes like a star at some point. I'm just not high on him, as he said. But when it comes to Jaden Ivey, he's quick, he's fast, he thrives in transition. But I think I have some questions in terms of like half court when it comes to Jaden Ivey. But there was, you know, he did improve greatly in his 3-point shooting during his 2 years in college, right? I mean, freshman year, 25% on 4 attempts a game. Set hit last year with a bigger role too, 5 attempts a game, 35.8% from 3. So he's a solid 3-point shooter, at least from what we can tell. He, like I said, he's quick. He can get into some problems. He averaged like 3 assists and 2.6 turnovers. I would worry about turnovers probably early on for him, just learning the game. I don't know, man, because then you start to think like, you know, is he better than Cole Anthony? Would you take him over Cole Anthony? And I guess I want to ask you, Jonathan, have you done enough deep dive on Jaden Ivey to know, like, would you prefer him and his development over Cole Anthony and what we've seen so far and his ceiling?
Yeah, that's a tough question for me. I think with Jaden Ivey, if we end up in like the 5 to 6 range, I'm definitely more intrigued in that conversation. Like we end up in the top 3, I don't see it happening. And I know we have a question about this, and we'll have a more lengthy conversation on this prospect in a moment.
Yeah.
But Shaedon Sharpe has definitely become the more intriguing pick if we're going to go with a guard, especially if we end up in like the 3 to 5 range. I think he's a realistic option. Jaden, again, 5'6", I wouldn't hate the pick there. I don't know. He is a bigger guard than Cole. They're both very explosive, but Jaden Ivey is like very special explosive. Like we're talking about like Ja Morant, John Wall type of explosiveness. The 3-point shooting, I'm not entirely sold on just because it was such a massive jump from the first to second year. And I know there's this stigma around you know, guys that don't come out of college after the first year. You know, he had 2 years at Purdue, but you know, he made some big shots, you know, in the tournament games for Purdue. I don't know. I would really have to, and I am waiting until where we know we're picking to get really deep into all the draft prospects. So I haven't had the opportunity to do that just yet. I don't know that I'm ready to say I would take Jaden Ivey over Cole. And we're not saying that is necessarily even the question that we're asking if you take Jaden Ivey. But since Luke asked me the question, I'm just going to cop out and say I really don't know right now.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it boils down to there's other people in the draft I would want more, i.e. Shaedon Sharpe. So is that the
Shaedon
one
Sharpe,
go with
Paolo
next?
Banchero, Chet Holmgren, Jabari Smith Jr. Mm-hmm. You might even talk me into Mathurin. I really don't know. But yeah, we're gonna find out where we pick in just about a week. So, but thanks for calling in. Thank you for the question.
Yo, it's your boy Franz Godis for show, aka Jimmy Buckets, hailing from Palm Harbor,
We ain't from here, but we're handling from here right now. You know, this voicemail is very important that we discuss this. And I just want to discuss the fact that shout-out Maurice Harkless.
Shout-out Maurice Harkless. First of all, you can always count on Jimmy Buckets calling in with a solid voicemail. Really, really appreciate your support and appreciate you calling in. Yeah, shout-out Maurice Harkless. I mean, who didn't love Maurice Harkless at one point or another?
It's true.
You know what I mean?
It's true. Shout out that boy Mo.
Shout out. Thank you for calling in, Jimmy. All right, let's go to Eric in Vegas.
What's up? This is Eric in Vegas. I just want to say that the luckiest take I can make is that Shaedon Sharpe is drafted by the Magic. He's the best fit, in my opinion, for the Magic. And
that's just the ultimate mic drop, Eric in Vegas. He's just like, I think that Shaedon Sharpe is the best fit for the Magic, and
hang
nothing.
Up.
He just dropped his phone. He's like, I'm not even gonna finish my sentence there. But thank you for calling in, Eric. And yeah, we alluded to this a second ago. We want to talk about Shaedon Sharpe. Just the more and more that I see about this kid, the more excited that I'm gonna get. Like John Calipari, obviously, like I don't think he's a great coach. He is a phenomenal, like all-time recruiter. Like there is, like Nick Saban is an all-time great recruiter and coach. Calipari to me isn't that great of a coach, but is a phenomenal recruiter. He knows talent. He's seen plenty of NBA talent walk through the door. He says Shaedon Sharpe did not play this year at Kentucky because they were concerned with the NCAA, like over eligibility stuff, and they didn't want to play the game the whole year. Like, is he playing? Is he not playing? Blah, 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 blah. So pretty early on in the season, they just said Shaedon Sharpe is going to be out for the entire season. Calipari has said if Shaedon Sharpe comes back and plays at Kentucky next year, he would, without a doubt, be the number one pick in next year's draft. That is a draft that features Victor Wembanyama, who for like the last 4 years has been projected to be the number one overall pick in the 2023 draft. So maybe Calipari forgot that for a split second. I really don't know. But to say that about Shaedon Sharpe is a big deal. And then just kind of like the tape that we've seen on him. Like you don't really have a lot of tape on him outside of high school. And it's now been like a year and a half since he played high school basketball. But just the more and more tape that comes out on him, like Jonathan Givony was at like one of his workouts and was like, this guy, his skill set could be the number one pick in the draft. Very explosive athlete, dynamic scorer, great shooter. Just the more and more that we're talking about him, I don't know. I think there's going to be some conversation as we get closer to the draft that some people have Shaedon Sharpe as the number one prospect in the draft.
If you are worried, Jonathan, as a, in general, not you specifically, if you are worried about Chet Holmgren being a risk, you can multiply that by probably like 5 to 10, that worry that you should have about him, about Sharpe. I think he by far, because of the incredibly weird scenario, he has the biggest difference between floor and ceiling.
Yeah,
because
that's
fair. you just don't know. Like you just don't know. It is a huge gamble. But what I will say, I would trust the Magic front office if they decide to take him, solely for the fact of what they've shown us. Right? They clearly know how to scout.
There is zero possibility the Magic would take Shaedon Sharpe that high without getting him in Orlando and working him out.
Yeah, I mean, obviously.
Zero chance. Like,
yeah, and so with him, man, it's tough. I think he would quickly become, if he is who I think he is, I think he quickly becomes the best perimeter player for the Magic. He's a stud, but it is very hard to know because he played in high school and on the EYBL circuit, but no, like nowhere else. And just to kind of give you an idea, like in the circuit, the EYBL, you know, essentially high school, you know, whatever circuit, 22.6 points a game, almost 3 assists, almost 1 steal, 47.9 from the field, 36.4% from 3, and 63% from the free throw line. And essentially what you can see from him is that he's 6'6". They've got him listed at 200 everywhere that I look. he's got a great, essentially his mechanics are great from what I can tell, from what I've read, from what I've seen. He's got the makings of a great NBA player. It's just like, I have so many question marks. I think it's going to keep him from going top three in this draft, but I would not be surprised if we look back, if we look forward, like even to like a year from now, and we're like, Sharp was by far and away the best player in this draft. Because right now, Jonathan, I am not convinced that any of these guys are going to single-handedly change the trajectory of your franchise on their own. Like, they're not a guy where, like, if your team is awful and you have no young pieces, nothing, this guy is not the LeBron James.
Yeah.
Right? I don't even think that there is a guy in this draft, unless it is Shaedon Sharpe, that is a Cade Cunningham. So, and Cade Cunningham's not, like, single-handedly
Oh, you mean just
franchise.
One of the most complete draft prospects that some, you know, talent evaluators have ever seen?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's none of those in this draft. Okay.
No.
Gotcha.
No.
Thanks.
Yeah. No problem.
Yeah.
Anyway, y'all saw Detroit sucked this year. So My point, K didn't come in. This team didn't elevate to high levels. Don't get me wrong. They were better with him on the court, no doubt.
Yeah.
But all that to say, I don't see anybody in this draft except for maybe Shaedon Sharpe, just because there's so many question marks that I would be
confident. Chet is. If Chet is healthy, he is.
But there are still also question marks for him. Yeah. I can see him getting there, obviously. I think for me, in terms of who can blow the roof off of this draft class, it's Shaedon Sharpe and it's Chet Holmgren.
I don't know how much weight that you want to put in this. I'm not putting much weight in it, but I've had limited interactions with Kentucky fans, like talking about Shaedon Sharpe on Twitter, and allegedly, I'm doing the air quotes here, he like would dominate in the Kentucky practices, like dominate.
We love to hear it.
Yeah, so
I really do.
I mean, take it with a grain of salt, but and I don't even have a source. I have hearsay of that from you know, KU fan 1987 on UK. Twitter, stuff like that.
But yeah,
that's Kansas. My bad. Oh, they'll be pissed when they hear that. How damn dare you, rock chalk baby? You know, whatever. But yeah, Shaedon Sharpe definitely interesting. I do think there's a chance that he works out because again, like we've said, there's not a clear cut number one guy in this draft. I do think there's an opportunity that, you know, a team ends up in the top four, bring Shaedon Sharpe in like for a workout. And then all of a sudden, you know, we're listening to Kevin O'Connor on the Mismatch say, Shaedon Sharpe is moving up a lot of GMs, a lot of executive draft boards. You know, there's talk about him being in the mix in the top three or whatever. That would not surprise me at all. But if he's like the fifth or the sixth pick in this draft, that would not surprise me either.
Yeah, I think he's just got a lot of question marks, but I think that he might be worth it.
We gonna see. All right, let's get to our last. We're gonna go to Carson.
Jonathan Lube, what's up, guys? It's Carson from Huntsville. Been listening since day one. Obviously a huge fan. I was listening to the Orlando Magic Daily Mock Draft Friday number 3. And I wanted to present the question of the Magic have never really been big on going after their guy, maybe, or like making trades in the draft. And I wonder what your guys' opinion is if, what if Golden State or somebody had taken Franz for us at the 8th pick? Do you or do you not think that would have done everything in his power to get Franz? So just a little thought I had, but anyway, go Magic, love the show, keep doing what y'all are doing. We'll continue to listen every week, and God be with us, May 17th, man. God be with us. But go Magic. You have a great Mother's Day.
All right. So first of all, shout out Carson. Sorry that we're getting to this a little bit, late. Hope everybody had a great Mother's Day. Love Carson, longtime supporter. That is my guy. Thank you so much for calling in. So he wants to know, what would they have done, like if the Warriors said they were going to draft, you know, Franz Wagner at 7. I don't think the Magic end up with Franz Wagner. If the Warriors take Franz Wagner at 7, the Magic draft Jonathan Kuminga at 8. Because if Franz Wagner was truly their guy and they were going to do whatever they could to get him, they would have taken him at 5.
Yeah.
Like, at that point, you're really just rolling the dice that your guy is still going to be there at 8. And although, you know, it seems like they had some pretty good intel and there was a secret workout with the Magic that they didn't know about. And, you know, our buddy from Bleacher Report, Jake Fisher, you know, alluded at one point that there was a team in the 8 to 10 range that had promised Franz Wagner they would draft him if he was there. And he said it was not the Kings, so that leaves it either to the Pelicans or the Magic. And it looks like it was the Magic. John Hammond went on the radio shortly after the draft and said Franz Wagner was going to be the pick at 8. No matter who the Magic took at 5, no matter who was there available at 8, Franz Wagner was going to be the pick. So there's a lot of kind of like just kind of conflicting evidence there. Like if you really thought this guy was going to be this, then you take him at 5. But apparently there was a promise, and you know John Hammond's comments said they were going to take Franz Wagner at 8 no matter what. But Luke, I feel like if the Warriors threatened to take Franz Wagner at 7, yeah, then the Magic just draft Jonathan Kuminga.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing, and obviously it's, you know, dumb to get hung up at this point, but like the big thing is the entire like if he's there at 8, we'll take you. It wasn't like what, there's not much room between 5 and 8, like we've alluded to at this point. So I don't think there's, I don't think so. I think the Magic just, like you said, they grab Kuminga, they go on their way, and they're happy with either guy.
And I mean, I still think Kuminga is going to be very good. Is he going to be better than Franz? I don't know. I still think that's a real possibility.
They didn't get the same shake this year. I mean, Franz was playing 30 minutes, yeah, while Jonathan Kuminga was playing like 16.
He was begging Steve Kerr for minutes. Like, bro, like, yeah, like what do I have to do? You know? Mm. So... But yeah, Luke, I think that is going to do it. That was the last question that we had. Was there anything that we didn't get to, anything that we wanted to mention or touch on before we wrap up here?
No, I will not be on next episode. So the next time you guys hear my voice will either be recapping lottery night, or if you are at the Harry Buffalo, would love to talk to you. You'll hear my voice then.
Yeah, don't be shy. Like, come up and say what's up to us. Like, please.
Hug
like,
me.
There you go.
Just hug me.
I'll probably do like the dap hug, like, yo, what up, bro? Like, you know, and like kind of lean in for the hug. But Luke is just like he wants to full on embrace.
We're gonna embrace for sure. Right. So don't even just, you can do that, and then I'll look at you funny and be like, bro, you told me on the show, and I'll be like, oh yeah, you're right. Okay.
Luke has like talked about setting up a kissing booth in the past. Like, I don't know, like, you know,
hey, that, listen,
like,
I
COVID isn't all the way
was,
gone. Like, I think we should just, we should kind of like chill with that a little bit. So yeah. But yeah, seriously, come up, say what's up to us. We would love to meet you guys and love to talk about the Magic. And hopefully we are celebrating long into the evening, celebrating a top pick in the draft. We're also going to be streaming the lottery party for anyone that's not able to make it. We're going to be streaming it on YouTube. So be sure to look out for that. We'll start the stream and then, you know, we'll send out the link. So if you follow us on Facebook or Twitter, or even on like Instagram, we're going to send out all the links. So if you want to watch the live stream of the lottery party with us, just look out for those links. We'll probably start that not too long before the lottery starts. But yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. So keep the eye out for that. Again, we're going to have awesome trivia. We're going to have some, you know, some giveaways. We're giving away a free signed Franz Wagner jersey. So if you are there in attendance, it is only going to be for those that are in attendance. I've had some people ask me, like, oh, can you ship it to South Africa? Like, no. Like, if you show up in person, you will be able to get a little raffle ticket for free, but it's just the way that we're going to use it to do the giveaway. But yeah, we're giving that away and some other stuff, so some stickers and some cool stuff like that. So make sure you guys come out. Again, May 17th, 7 o'clock, downtown Orlando at Harry Buffalo. It is now the official Orlando Magic six-man show. Draft Lottery Watch Party. It is going to be sponsored by Michelob Ultra. So again, please make sure that you guys come out. Again, I'm going to give you the address here. It's Harry Buffalo. It is 129 West Church Street, Orlando, Florida. Tuesday, May 17th at 7 o'clock p.m. Be there or be dead to us. Simple as that. It's a big place. We got room for everybody. So make sure you guys come out. It's going to be a fun time. Go Magic. Right, Luke?
Yeah, go Magic, baby.
All right, well, for Luke Sylvia, this has been Jonathan Osborne. You guys are listening to The Six Man Show. We will catch you guys next time. See ya. Thanks for listening to The Sixth Man Show. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and Stitcher to get new episodes downloaded directly to your phone. Please take a minute to give us a 5-star rating and a review. It would really help us out a lot. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram @SixthManShow and like us on Facebook. We'll catch you guys next time. Go Magic!